Welcome to Goddardji. I'm Nanise Ellis. We all have a very special relationship with God, whether we realize it or not. Many of us don't realize it, but God is always there wherever we look, whatever we think, whatever we feel, whatever we smell, whatever we sense. God is all around us. God is all around you. And we are coming to a time, a very, very special time, where we're waking up to the memory of not just who we really are, but who God really is, and of course the God in us all. I'm really excited to share this show with you tonight because, you see, it's my birthday. It's my 47th birthday. And it's funny, 47 is very, very significant to me. I grew up in a house, 4704 190th Street in Flushing, New York, and my whole life the number 47 has followed me around. And a few years ago I realized, oh, it's an age that something amazing and fantastic will happen when I'm 47. And so I've been very anxiously anticipating this day, and here I am. And I can't wait to see what the year before me holds, because I am sure that it will be amazing and magnificent. Today, when I got up this morning, I started thinking about my birthday and being really excited about it. And also I remembered, not so very long ago, maybe 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, I was not so happy about my birthday. I had never been happy about my birthday as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. There was always something not okay about my birthday. And looking back, it's very easy to see what that was. The simple truth is I didn't feel worthy of a celebration. So when people would try to celebrate my birthday, I would hide, I would ignore it, I would push it away, I couldn't open presents. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this went on for year after year, and I would be downstrought with great sadness and disappointment. And of course it was all coming from me. Of course it was. And I simply did not let the love in. I didn't let the love from others in. I didn't let the love from the divine in. And finally, when I was 36, I decided that I was going to change that all around, and I did something that was completely out of character for me. I had ignored my birthday year after year after year after year. And suddenly when I was 36, I decided that I would throw myself a party, a big birthday party. I was going to say surprise party, but I didn't surprise myself. I knew I was doing it. So, a big, big surprise for me, because the surprise was everything that I had imagined I was wrong about. And what I mean by that is that there was a great fear that what if I, you know, threw this party for myself and no one showed up, or worse yet, people thought, who is she to throw a party for herself? Who is she? And yet I took the risk and I did it anyway. I took the risk and I did it. And lo and behold, new friends, old friends, friends of friends came from far and wide to share my birthday with me. And it was an amazing celebration. And it was that night that I realized that in order for anybody else to celebrate me, that I have to celebrate me first. In order for me to say, hey, see me, look at me, celebrate with me, first I have to find myself worthy. And I did. And it took many, many years, many years. And so tonight, as we go through the show, and it's going to be a very, very special show, what I would like you to accept is an invitation to find yourself worthy, an invitation to celebrate yourself. So as you help me celebrate, what I am inviting you to do and experience is love yourself and find yourself unconditionally worthy, if only for the next hour. But maybe it will feel so good that you'll try it on and you'll keep it and see how it will magically and miraculously change your life. So tonight I have a few guests to help me celebrate with you. And each of them will be coming on and sharing their own experience of what God is to them and the relationship with God. And I'm really excited about where the show will go tonight. But before we introduce our guests, let's do a short meditation. And so if you're in a safe place and you're not driving, I invite you to close your eyes and just become aware of your breath. The in-breath. And the out-breath, and the out-breath, and the in-breath. And just keep following your breath, and notice that with each breath, you become more and more relaxed. You soften around yourself. Soften. Your heart opens as you soften. As you soften, your heart opens even more, and even more than that. Yes. Perfect. Now, imagine that there is a very special place right at your solar plexus. That place, it's where your ribs meet. You might even want to put your hand on that. And imagine that there's a beautiful ball of golden light right in the center of your solar plexus, right there. And as you notice it and you pay attention to it, you realize that it's growing and glowing and glowing and growing and growing and glowing and glowing and growing. Bigger and bigger and bigger and more powerful. So much so that it starts to fill up your whole chest and stomach, your whole torso, moving up, up your torso through your neck and your face, down your arms and your hands, and all the way down your torso into your legs, through your ankles, through your feet. So much so that you are now completely lit up, that you are golden light, that you are this golden, powerful vibration of energy. And breathe into that. And with each breath, your light gets brighter and brighter and more brilliant, brighter and more brilliant, brilliant and more brighter. Yes, brighter, brighter. And even more brilliant than that. And there is probably something very familiar about your brilliance, about your light, because you see, this is who you really are. And from this place, I invite you to think about your worthiness, but not conditioned on anything, because as soon as we condition worthiness on anything, it's not worthiness at all. And so, I invite you to experience your intrinsic and unconditional worthiness right now, and breathe into that. And as you continue to experience that God sees you as worthy unconditionally, that there's nothing that you can do to prove your worthiness, and there's nothing that you can do to stop your worthiness, that it's an absolute and not dependent on anything you do in human form or any other form. Your worthiness is absolute and unconditional. It's intrinsic within you. And imagine right now how God looks at you as the most beautiful, powerful, magnificent, brilliant being in all of creation, that you truly are God's golden child. You are the golden child. You are a child of God, and you are golden. You are the golden child. And breathe into that. And just a few more breaths. And let it resonate through your whole body. You're doing great. Yes. And so, my dear friend Lawrence, 2E2, is on the line now. And Lawrence, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Nanise.
Hi,
I love you. Happy birthday, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for accepting the invitation. I'm so thrilled to have you here. And it's interesting.
Well, I'm delighted to be here and in the capacity as your guest, instead of you being the guest, as we've done in the past. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited. And thanks for having me join the party on your birthday.
So Laura, so it's interesting because you and I have never really spoken about God before. You know, we've spoken about so many different things, but never about God. And I cannot wait to hear, you know, the part that God plays in your life.
Well, you're going to hear it.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's funny because I got an email from Janine, who I know is your assistant, and she actually told me, you know, I really want to hear what you have to say, and I never really gave it much thought, the fact that there's going to be this sense of expectation. But anyway, I did prepare something, and I'd like to start off by reading it to you, because this is something I prepared just for you on your birthday.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
And I guess you could say it's really on topic, so I'd mm-hmm. like to start with that.
Please.
Okay. If you have a healthy amount of self-esteem and self-love, God is kind, generous, mm-hmm. and benevolent, and wants you to be abundant, wealthy, and free.
Mm.
If you have low self-esteem, God wants you to be pious, mm. modest, even poor,
mm-hmm.
placing yourself and your needs after the needs of others. Only by giving to others can you be seen as good in God's eyes. If you are not trusting and believe that everyone's out to get you, hey, the world is not a safe place,
mm.
then you must be among the God-fearing folk.
Mm.
If you're a realist and cannot or will not accept anything but the physical, then you're an atheist and don't mm. believe in God. This is true if you are deeply hurt, bitter, and resentful too, by the way.
Mm.
If you are sympathetic and compassionate, you believe in a sympathetic and compassionate God. If you live in an oppressive society or religious circle, then God may take on an oppressive nature. If you're a scientist, you may see God as an unified theory or a universal force or intelligence. If you're a New Ager, God is surely the universe or consciousness or oneness to you, man. And if you hail the sun's glory to bring you your nourishment and prana each day, then God may be that bright, beautiful golden beacon of light in the sky. If a woman in harmony with her femininity, then God is a goddess.
Mm.
And if you are black, God may have a darker skin tone. If you are a traditionalist, then God is God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a naturalist, then God is in all divine nature. If you are detached from yourself, then God is separate from you. If you're an integrated being, then you acknowledge the God within.
Mm.
If you live before Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad, God must have surely been within you, been with you too. And if you are blind, surely your God cannot see. And if you've never heard a sound uttered, God must be silent too. And when you are happy, you rejoice. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And when you are down or angry and fear or depressed, you may scorn and scull and scold God. And when you are threatened and in fear of your life, you may drop down to your knees with a singular focus and pray to God, help.
Mm.
So, with that,
wow.
We are left with the question, what is God?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we truly know God?
Yes.
So I just wanted to kick it off with that, and that was my short poem and thesis to you about that kind of leads up to my belief about, well, my understanding, my belief about God.
Yes.
It seems that each of us knows God in our own unique way. We have a very personal relationship with God that is largely based on our awareness and relationship with ourselves. And so while we may think we know God, if our relationship to God changes with our awareness, it seems that we can only approach God. God cannot be fully known at our current level of awareness. We are all approaching God with our limited awareness. And each of these approaches resonates with how we perceive reality. Our awareness and reality being based on our beliefs, we can see from the examples I just gave that the ways in which we approach God are as varied as the colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
They are all valid. There's no wrong way to approach God.
Mm-hmm.
But if we truly want to know God, then what we believe God to be or not to be is in vain because belief is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
It is limited to the viewer.
Right.
It is limited to a mental concept.
So what I hear you say, Lawrence, is that God is beyond belief, that we really relate to God according to our beliefs, depending on what they are, depending on who we are, but really God is beyond belief, and that our beliefs are just our way of relating of contacting God, of being in relationship with God. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So I'm just still reading. It's just the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that God cannot truly be known by believing. God can only be known by experiencing.
Yes.
And exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So it sounds like it's about inviting God into your heart, inviting God into your life to experience what God is, rather than having some preconceived notions or some doctrine or set of beliefs that guide us to God. It's about surrendering to God and saying, God, show me who you are. Show me what you are. Show me who I am.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that just an understanding that we are all approaching God, and that God, mm-hmm. our concept of God is based on where we're at, and not, and an understanding that if we cling to those beliefs, if we cling to how we approach God, if we ridicule others for how mm-hmm. they are approaching God, then all of a sudden we've stagnated ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't evolved. But if we allow ourselves to freely move through our different beliefs and our awarenesses as we evolve through life, and allow our concept of God to change, and allow other people's concepts of God to be okay, which means we respect where they are at and where they're evolving, then that means we are truly moving to an expression where we will know God, and we will feel God, and we will eventually continue to keep letting go, keep letting go, keep letting go of my words, keep letting go of what you thought was real yesterday, keep letting go, you know. Understand that we are evolving all the time, especially now in this day and age. We're evolving very rapidly, and we're moving through a lot of different, you know, belief systems and going through all these things. And so God is something that we can only experience if we continually keep letting go.
Yes. Lawrence, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all that. That was phenomenal. And I so want to have you on a Goddardy in the very near future, and we'll do the whole show together and continue this conversation. How does that sound?
Sounds like I love you, and I'm very happy to co-create with you at any time.
Thank you, sweetheart. I love you, too. I love you so much. You have a wonderful night.
You too. Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And I think Macy's with us now. Macy, are you there?
I am. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks for celebrating with me.
Oh, I know. I feel honored.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. Yeah.
Exciting.
So, were you able to hear Lawrence just a few minutes ago?
You know what? I only caught the very last 2 minutes. It was very muffled on my end. And then all of a sudden he came to life. It was like, then I heard this voice.
Awesome.
So I didn't get to hear it. And it sounded amazing because I could hear your response, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. So
he was amazing. Well, you'll be able to hear it in the archives. So.
Yeah.
But I cannot wait to hear about your relationship to God. I know you've had a challenging and triumphant life. And what's your relationship to God now, Macy?
You know, it's really interesting because even as a child, I've always been close to God. A little while ago, I found pictures I used to draw of myself with God and with animals around me. And so it started when I was very young. I always knew I had a strong connection. And I was the only one in my family who was so dedicated to going to church. And as soon as I got my driver's license, I'd drive myself to church. And my parents used to, when I was like 10 years old, give us a quarter if we went out to the pizza parlor to go and play video games, and I'd always keep my 25 cents to give to the church the next day, and everybody around me always kind of looked like, okay, how do you teach that in a little child? And my parents like, that's just who she is. Like, we have never, they exposed me to church and exposed me to what the idea of God was. They never laid any pressure on me for it. So I was so grateful to them because I was just learning to experience it by how I felt when I was in church. I just liked how I felt. But what was interesting is I have never understood the Bible. I didn't like the words that were being told. I always liked it in the stories because, of course, they're all parables. They're all stories. They're just interpretations, people's interpretation put into words. So everybody says it's the word of God. I never believed that, even when I was little. I'm like, my God would never do that.
Yes.
And I shouldn't feel guilty in order to love this power that I came from. So I never listened to the Bible. I would just listen to the music, and I liked the feeling, the experience. And even in college, I'd go to church twice on the weekends when everybody else was recovering from their fun. There was something I was connecting with. Now, when
what
I
is your relationship with God now?
Exactly. When I had my accident, my relationship changed. It became very inward. So I no longer was looking for it outward for the experience from music and being in church. In fact, I don't even go to church anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can access it within me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the more that I know myself, the more I know God.
Yeah.
So when I was forced to turn inward to really, really understand my purpose in being here and why I'm here, I really understood that I am a piece of that divine energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer have to find it in somebody else telling me what those words mean. I just know it because I live it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, God is just a knowingness at peace with myself. So it's really interesting because I see his the creation and the energy around me, and I understand when there are other powers that are playing, because my divine energy knows better than I do at times, because if I get too much in my head and not with my heart, then I know. And so I just trust that sometimes when things don't work out, I always know it's because there's a bigger force that's bringing me something even better. So
that's
it's a knowingness. It's a trusting and a knowingness within myself. It's really a peace and calmness. It's it's just a feeling that I have. So I don't have to look for it outside. I don't even need to see it even in other people to just know that it exists.
Right. That's my experience of God now, too, that it's such a personal, intimate relationship that it's not outside of me. And yet, it's everywhere. It's everywhere that I look, but it's not outside of me, but it's everywhere that I look.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Lisa, we're gonna bring Amy on, but you're gonna stay on for the whole show.
Okay.
And so, Amy, are you there?
Hey, Nannies. Happy birthday, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Well, thanks for joining me and celebrating with me and celebrating my birthday and celebrating God, you know. I mean, how cool is it that we get to talk about God, you know? I mean, who talks about God?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And so what is your relationship with God?
Well, my first experience that I can remember truly feeling and knowing God, like Lawrence was saying, that we really can only know God by experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I grew up Catholic and like you, and I had all those beliefs. And so my real experience was 20. I had been dealing with an eating disorder for 7 years at that point, and I was exhausted. I was filled with self-hatred, and I just wanted to give up. And, you know, I didn't want to die, but I didn't know how to live either, and I felt trapped. I felt caught in the middle from wanting to really live my life and, you know, on the other side of dying and not wanting that either. And Nannies, in a quiet moment of surrender, I heard a voice within me say, to live like this, there is a better way.
Mm.
And the miracle was that I not only listened, I believed that that was true. Even with everything that was going on around me, there was something in me that resonated with me, and I knew that was truth. And I just felt for the first time that I wasn't alone, that there was a greater power with me, and that it was wanting to lift me up and pull me up to remember who I was.
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful. How did you know where the voice came from? You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people listening, and they're like, well, how can I trust that voice? Like, I've heard voices, but how do I know that it's the voice of God or the voice of the divine? How can I trust the voice? And how were you able to do that?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, all those years with the eating disorder, I mean, I was completely shut off from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand how I was dealing with my emotions. Mm-hmm. I didn't allow myself to feel anything, so I didn't feel. And when I would start to feel something, I would purge it with food. This was so different, Nannies. So that's all I can say, that it was just so different. And I just heard those words. I knew they weren't coming from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't coming from my mind. It wasn't that normal chatter in my mind.
Right.
It was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I don't know if you know, Amy, but I suffered from an eating disorder for many, many years.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that in common.
Yeah, we have a lot in common. Yes. Yeah. And I remember the powerlessness behind it, or the powerlessness that caused it, or both. Yeah. And I remember moments in my life where there was something divine speaking to me that got me through those rough times. And somehow, you know, like you, I just knew that it was not me, that it was beyond me, and that it was some divine force guiding me and looking out for me.
And for me, I'm sure with you too, that is what gave me hope and strength to keep moving forward and to listen to that and say, okay, there is a better way. Let me find it.
Yes. And it's interesting because no matter how dark that tunnel is, there's always light. There's always light. You just have to keep going. You just have to, you know, just keep listening to those divine voices, and you keep going until you find the light, or the light meets you halfway.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And today, it's just so amazing. Really, since I've gotten to know you, Nannies, and what we've been going through these last 8 or 9 months, that I'm really learning how to live from my heart and not from my mind. And that's only the place where we can find God.
Right, exactly.
It's in our heart.
Yeah, it's the only place.
Yes. So it's beautiful.
It
changes everything.
As a society, we have been living from our minds for so long, you know, logically figuring things out and thinking that's the way, and brought up to deny our hearts because our hearts don't know anything. And we're just coming to this place now where it's like, oh, the answer's not in our heads. The answers are really in our hearts. And that's where we connect. You know, I think that the head, like each of our heads can be completely different and controversial with each other. But when we move down into the heart area, this is where we all connect. This is where we all really are the same, where we unite in love and unite in kindness, as in one of a kind. And this is where world harmony is created. It's through the heart. It can never be through the head. It must be through the heart.
Yeah.
And Missy, what is your experience of that, you know, dropping from the head to the heart? And
you know, it was interesting because once I started to learn that I kept giving my power away, and I no longer was whole within myself, when I started realizing that I was number one, and I can't make anybody else around me happy unless I complete myself, and that included loving myself, and that was when I started to get out of my head and into my heart.
Yeah.
So it was a loving of myself and knowing that I can do more good for other people if I'm whole.
Yeah.
And that's where it would come from. Yeah.
It's so hard to get to that place of loving yourself. You know, it's so challenging because we've got all these beliefs in our way and feelings of unworthiness and doubt and hesitation, and you know, we're just not brought up to love ourselves or to find ourselves worthy, and without that we can't even experience that God, or anybody for that matter, loves us or could love us. It's like the key is finding ourselves and learning to love ourselves, because once we love ourselves, what happens is we open our hearts. And once we open our hearts, then, you know, the love of God, which is always there, can pour in. But it really does start with us.
It absolutely starts with us. That's the only thing you have true control over.
Mm-hmm.
Is you can't change anybody else. You can't try and fix anybody else. The only thing is, as you say, Nannies, is be the best version of yourself.
Right.
That's it.
That's our only job. Just to be you. Just to be you. Not to be anybody else. Just to be you. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. You know, it would be like, you know, imagine, so we're all pieces of a puzzle. And we all fit together perfectly because we're all different. And so we're one puzzle. And so imagine, like, you're doing a puzzle, like a literal puzzle, and you have the pieces and you're putting them together. And one piece says, you know what? That's a prettier piece. I'm going to be like that piece instead of like me. And so they change themselves into being that piece. Well, now the puzzle could never be complete because they have this two of one pieces, one piece, is that right? And then there's a missing piece. So every time we deny ourselves or try to be someone other than ourselves, what we're doing is we're cutting out a piece of the puzzle. And the puzzle is, you know, our families, our communities, the world. That our uniqueness really is a unique part of the puzzle and makes up the whole and is important. And it's important. And so it's important to remember ourselves. And when I say remember, it's like remember, like put the parts of ourselves back together. Remember ourselves so that we're whole, I'm whole, you're whole, you know, Amy's whole, you know, we're all whole. And then that puzzle can go together nicely and effortlessly. changes everything, changes relationships. I mean, wouldn't you say that your experience of your wholeness has changed your relationships, especially your intimate relationships?
It's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know if I can put it into words. It's just so harmonious and loving. When we really connect with who we truly are and be who we truly are and remember that and we're in that place, there's not even any thought about whether we're going to allow someone else to do the same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Say more.
Well, I feel like before, when I, and you know, this is a practice, by the way. Living from the heart is such a practice because we're taught to live from the mind. And when I know when I'm feeling anything less than peace and joy, I know that I'm not in my heart, and I can stop and I can catch myself and I can bring myself back to my heart. But before I really learned this and how to live from my heart and not from my mind, from my head all the time, I was more in my human mind instead of my divine self, so there was more need to control. And especially in relationships, and not that I wanted to, but it's just, it would happen. It was just something. And when I'm in my heart and connected to who I truly am, it's just so beautiful. I'm just getting used to it still. Everything has changed. There's no fear there. There's no doubt. There's no criticism. There's no blame. None of that is in the heart.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to us trying to imagine what that's like to live a life without self-criticism or self-blame or self-judgment, to live a life where you just honor and love yourself and be kind to yourself.
Well, there's a couple of things that we're taught that really keep us from going here. And this is changing now, like you're saying, Inez. Everything is changing, and it's the most beautiful time to be alive. But one thing, as you've already talked about, is that we're taught to live in our head and our mind and not our heart. And the second thing, we are taught so much how not to feel. We're taught to avoid pain. We're taught to fear darkness ever since we are a child. So when we're at this place where we want to move into the heart, the only way to do that is to allow ourselves to feel. And sometimes what we're going to find there is pain, and we're going to find darkness, and we were taught to run from that, and we want to remember that only in going through towards that, like you have taught me, Nannies, and shining the light on it, can we get to who we truly are? Because once you shine the light on the darkness, it dissolves, and it's only who we are.
Right. The darkness is really an illusion, and it's a lack of light. And so how do you shed light on the darkness? And you simply, I want to use the word confront it. That might not totally be accurate, but you look at it, and you're willing to go through it. You're willing to walk through it. You're willing to be in it. And just by putting your intention on it, you're putting light on it. Because whenever we look at something, we're shedding light on it. Paying attention, we shed light. And so there's darkness there. There we are. We're shedding light on it. And it naturally dissolves. It naturally dissolves. You know, it's like you walk into a dark room and you flick on the light switch. You don't see the light and the dark fight. Like, I'm gonna win. It's gonna be dark in here. No, I'm gonna win. It's gonna be light in here. It would be ridiculous. You know, as soon as you flip the switch on, it's immediately light. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us, that as soon as we flip that switch on, suddenly that darkness turns to light. And the key really is being able to sit in it, to go there. I often call it the void because it's scary and unknown, but it truly is the gateway to finding who we really are. Once you've confronted the darkness, then there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. And once there's nothing to be afraid of, it's you unlock those parts of you that have been hidden behind the darkness, those most authentic parts, those most beautiful parts, because that's what we do. You know, we have these beautiful, vulnerable, loving parts of us, and we set up parameters so that they don't get hurt, and the parameters are this darkness. So the darkness is around this most beautiful part of us, and so we live on the surface in more superficial ways, and we never go into ourselves because there's fear all around that, and it's supposed to be fear because it's the fear that keeps that vulnerable, soft part of us, loving part of us safe. And I think that has been very important for generations, for lifetimes. But now it's time to break through that. It's time to go past that barrier of fear, to get to ourselves. And the only way to get to ourselves is by going through that darkness. It's the only way. It is the only way.
And the good news with that is that every time one of us does just what you said, Nannies,
mm-hmm.
we're all connected.
Yes.
It assists others to do the same, and it's just going
Absolutely.
To spread. It's going to make it easier for everyone to remember who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just by walking around with that vibration. I know, Macy, I know that you've had this experience many times. Just by being the light that you are, people feel that. You don't even have to say a word to them. Is that? Am I correct in sharing
yeah.
that?
Yeah. It was so interesting. I was at a conference. It was an all-women's conference, and some of the top entrepreneurial women in the country, actually, and you're supposed to go around and tell everybody what it is that you admire about the other person. You don't let them know what it is. You just put it on their back on a sticker, and I kept having all stickers on my back. They all said confidence.
Oh, wow.
My confidence, and I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I just don't, you know, I'm just sitting there. But there's something that people see, but it's truly because I've worked a lifetime at loving myself. I really love myself, and it's not that I sit there and say, oh, I love myself. You know, everybody look
yeah.
at me. No, I'm just very comfortable in my own skin,
yeah.
and it is something that people just see, and they do.
Yeah.
They always ask me, how do you do that? What do you do?
Mm.
You know, where did you get that? But I said, well, you know, I kind of went the hard way around getting
mm-hmm.
here. I don't think
yeah.
everybody has to go that hard, but challenges are actually a good thing. When
yes.
people are in the middle of a challenge, I actually say, that's exciting.
Yes.
I mean, I'm happy for you because I guarantee your life will never be the same.
Right, exactly.
So they feel that energy coming from me, and they do feel not as scared to face something, because when they look at me, they think I haven't had a difficult life. They're like, oh, you make everything look so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, I have.
Yeah.
And yet, even as I went through it, I still did it with a smile on my face, because
right.
I knew it was in my best good. I really did. And
right.
even now when I'm faced with challenges, either A, I work through them much quicker, or B,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm gonna get a really good lesson here. This is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of it.
That's the courage.
It is
That's
courage.
The courage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And, you know, the thing, too, is that when we experience that pain or the fear
mm-hmm.
of something, you know, that's more painful to be in fear
yes.
than to just face it and deal with it. And
exactly.
move it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Much painful to just sit there in fear of the unknown, because the unknown actually
mm-hmm.
could be something very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't even allow themselves to think that it could be. When you
right.
say you flick on the switch,
it's
you can have this big, fluffy teddy bear sitting there waiting for you. It doesn't have
mm-hmm.
to be something scary or bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if there is something scary there, it's just something that is showing itself to you that's inside of you, so you can deal it, heal it, and grow.
Right.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you, Macy. And we're going to bring Kelly on in just a moment. And so, Amy, do you have any last words to share with our listeners today that you'd like to leave them with?
Just to remember who you are, and remembering who you are, shift your consciousness from your head and bring it down
mm-hmm.
to your heart in that place, and just allow your heart to open, and
mm-hmm.
just practice noticing the energy and love in your heart. And the more you practice, the more it's going to open wider and wider. When you find yourself, something happens and it starts to shut down, just be conscious of keeping it open, and your life will change.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Amy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the celebration with me and sharing your wise, wise words. And I love you very much.
I love you so much, Nannies. Thank you for mm-hmm. having me. I love you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. And Kelly, are you there, sweetheart?
I am.
Hi. Thank you so much
happy
for joining
birthday.
Me. Thank you. And it has been
well,
a very happy birthday. Aw, thank you. And so I know that you have a very intimate relationship with God, and I would love for you to share that with our audience today.
Well, I think like Macy shared, I've been seeking and searching ever since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I remember laying in my parents' station wagon when we were driving, looking up at the sky and asking questions like, you know, if God made us and who made God
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And, you know, I was like Macy as well, as far as mm-hmm. I grew up and I was the one going to church, and we had gone to church, all of us, but, you know, I was the one that continued in high school, mm-hmm. and, but I always felt like, for myself that it just didn't fit. The Bible just didn't fit with my heart, because I feel God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the Bible, for myself, when I tried to follow it, I felt so much guilt, because I felt like I could never live up to that, and it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people.
What's your relationship now? What's your relationship now with God?
Oh, love.
Aw, you're love with God. Oh, that's so beautiful.
just I feel very blessed. Mm-hmm. I feel honored that I have found. I mean, I used to lay in bed at night and say, please lead me on the right path towards you. And and I had to go through a lot of hard times, too, as well. I went through how many years ago? About 8.5 years ago, I had a mental breakdown. And I still was searching before then, but that really was a huge eye-opener, and I realized that
good to have a good mental breakdown just to get out of your head and into your heart.
You did, and I did. Yeah. I had a mental breakdown, and I realized that I couldn't change anybody around me. Mm-hmm. The only person I could change myself, and so I got every self-help book or everything known to mankind to start searching, and I've just been searching ever since, following my intuition of where I'm guided to go, whether it be, you know, a Buddhist temple or a spiritual center, or not just that, but also I do a lot of journaling and meditation, and just coming from love. I love people, and self-love, that's the key. It's learning to love yourself, and I think it was shared just what I just heard recently, tonight with you guys, where when you are out of sorts, you aren't connected to God, and it's that self-love of loving yourself and honoring yourself, and going within, that's when you find him, and that's when you find your center. So,
yeah, that's so beautiful, Kelly. Thank you so much for sharing all that.
Yeah,
I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people who are listening. Thank you so much, darling. Yes, and Macy, are there a few last words that you'd like to share as we near the end of the show?
Well, just happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Very exciting. And, you know, that when people do face challenges, know you are going to be so much stronger and better on the other side of it. So trust yourself. Know that you actually attracted this into your life because you were ready.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready for something better. So, you know, it's really trusting in yourself and knowing that that source is connected. And you do. You can read and access God just by trusting in yourself.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And Kelly, any last words as we
I agree with Macy.
Mm-hmm.
I really agree where you have to, you know, the it's a beautiful thing because that's when you do search for God, when you do go through your hard times, and that's when you connect with him, and that's when you start falling in love with him, but falling in love with yourself, because you are God. God's within each and every one of us. And so it's loving you and looking at yourself in the mirror every day and saying, I love you, and honoring yourself, honoring you're a beautiful person. So, yeah, that's what my last words is, just God is love.
Mm.
And so.
Mm. Yes. Thank you, Kelly. Those are beautiful last words. Beautiful last words. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Happy
thank you
birthday.
So much, Macy. thank
well,
you, darling.
Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
Love
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Thank you. Good night. Yes, it's about trust. You know, God is all around. God is inside of us. Everywhere we look, it's God. And the way in which we connect with God and have a relationship with God is by trusting. A lot of people are like, oh, I need proof of God. Well, everything is proof, and that's the point. It's all proof. Every way you look, every feeling you feel, every thought you think, everything you see, everything you hear, that's all proof of God. It just seems ordinary. But really, when you really look at it, it is extraordinary. You are extraordinary. You are brilliant. You are magnificent. You are the divine essence of God and Goddess. We all are, wherever you look. I had a friend over the weekend really concerned about helping, you know, some people who needed some help, and was not really seeing them and coming from a place of loving judgment, you know, wanting to, you know, help them and make them better. And we had a long conversation, and after this conversation, he got it. And what he got was that there's nothing to fix, there's nothing to change, that everywhere you look, there's beauty, and to invite God to look through your eyes. So surrender your own eyes, your own judgments, your own preconceived notions of the way you think other people should be, and even how you should be, and just see yourself and see others through the eyes of God. That's my invitation for you to try on for the following week and maybe for the rest of your life. Ask God, show me what it looks like. Show me what this person looks like through your eyes. And I guarantee all your relationships will change, every single one of them. And that is divine beauty, divine brilliance. And so now we will experience our prayer circle, as we do at the end of Goddess each time. And so if there's somebody that you would like to pray for, and this could be yourself, or this could be someone you know or love, just intend for them to be in the energy of this prayer circle, and that we ask the divine to heal and return to wholeness those that we put into the circle. And those that I am putting into the circle tonight are Audrey and Jade and Keith and Lois and Maureen, and anybody else, please put your friends and family into the prayer circle, and God hears your prayers. God hears my prayers. And take a deep breath and repeat, it is done, it is done, it is done. Wholeness is bestowed and returned. So I'd like you to think now, what is the greatest thing that you got out of tonight's Goddess? What are you taking away with you? What's the piece that will make a difference in your life? What's the piece that makes you have a deeper relationship with the divine, have a deeper relationship with yourself? And truly, the way to have a deeper relationship with the divine is through having a deeper relationship with yourself. And the way to have a deeper relationship with yourself is, of course, having a deeper relationship with the divine and remembering who you really are. And not only ask God to look through your eyes, but imagine that you can look through God's eyes at you. In fact, try that on right now. Imagine that you are looking through God's eyes and you're looking at you. And what do you see? Notice the love and the kindness. Notice the beauty. Notice the innocence. Notice the twinkle and the light. Notice it all. Yes. And the last thing that I'd like to leave you with is the image of a beautiful white dove just passing over your head. And as it passes over your head, you notice that beautiful twinkling energy comes down from the wings of this dove and sprinkles onto you this beautiful golden energy of light of the divine. And just let that soak in through your breath and through your skin and through your sight and through every sense that you possess. You are this divine light. You are love. You are beauty and magnificence. And you are this beautiful white dove. You are. I am. We are. Please visit me on my website at nanice.com. That's www.nanice.com. While you're there, take the pledge. Just click on the pledge. It's on the right side of the page, and it will change your life. It will be your new instruction booklet for life. And you can even download a certificate to put on your wall to remind you every day. And also while you're there, I have tons of articles, free articles, and I have a free book download called I Am. It's not going to be there for much longer, so get it while it's hot, and it is of a very high vibration and absolutely beautiful, and it will help you get in touch with the divine essence of who you are. It will help you get in touch with God on your own terms. And don't forget to email me. Let me know who you are. Let me know how Godaji has affected you in your life. And don't forget to share it with others, too. Tell all your friends, your family, everyone about Godaji and share. You know, it's time we talk about God. It's time that we bring God into our lives and into our hearts. And we share the beauty and divine essence of the divine, because it is really who we really are. And I love you. Thanks for sharing my birthday with me. And I look forward to next week. And you are absolutely beautiful, because I see you and I love you. You have been listening to Godaji. I'm Nani Salas. Till next week. Bye for now.